Brothers and sisters, let's open our Bibles now to the Gospel of Matthew as we delve into the first parable that we will discuss from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 13. Our passage is verses 1 through 9, and then we'll jump to verses 18 to 23. Matthew 13, 1 through 9, and then jump please to verses 18 to 23. The Word of God says, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root. They withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 18, therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet, he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word and cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. May God bless his word in our midst, dearly beloved. I have 4 points to share with us this morning as far as this first parable. The parable of the four soils. The first thing that we must understand is the sower. The sower, and we find this mentioned in verses 3 and 4, as Jesus sat down here on the boat, teaching and preaching to the whole multitude here, he mentions that there's a sower in verse 3. He says, behold, the parable starts, a sower went out to sow. And he even further said in verse 4, as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. And we see the different types of soil here. The sower here in this parable, dearly beloved, is someone who preaches the word, who proclaims the word, who declares the word of God. Therefore, the sower primarily represents Jesus Christ himself, because he himself is the greatest preacher of the gospel. But in a broader sense, it represents anyone who preaches, teaches, and proclaims the word of God to others. This is me, this is you. When we sow the gospel seed, you are the sower of the gospel seed. Now, this parable may be strange to us, especially for us who live in the city, totally oblivious of the agricultural world of sowing. But, dearly beloved, when Jesus Christ was teaching this to the crowd, this was very familiar to them. In fact, maybe a few meters away from the shore, there might be a patch of land there where someone is sowing. According to a historian, fields in the first century Israel were long, narrow strips marked off and surrounded by footpaths, not fence or hedges. The sower used a broadcasting method, taking one handful of seed at a time out of a seed bag by his side and flinging the seed over a wide swath. The arc of dispersal might have looked indiscriminate, and to a large degree, it certainly was. But the author continues, the method has the advantage of covering large areas of ground with evenly scattered seed. A skilled sower would not waste seed by letting it fall in concentrated patches or mound up in little places. He would throw the seed widely and as evenly as possible. Of course, this would come with more experiences to go along, right? So the goal here was to cover the whole plowed field with no margins on the perimeter left unseeded. It's impossible, of course, to throw seed by hand like that at the edges of a field, yet guarantee that it stays within the boundaries. This concept is what we see as well in the gospel proclamation ministry of the church. In fact, doesn't it in Acts chapter 1 say that that you'll become witnesses of me and there's a specific way of doing it? Jerusalem? Then what's next? Judea, and then Samaria, and then the uttermost part of the earth, right? And the concept there is that as you sow the gospel seed, you're doing it simultaneously in all of these places. At the same time, you're doing it. You're sowing the gospel seed. And that's exactly the act here of the sower. Some fall near him. That could be our Jerusalem. We evangelize here in Hazo, in the Blue Mountains. That will be the next part. And then, of course, in Australia. That's why we partner with other ministries around the globe, because that's our uttermost part of the earth. That's what we're doing, brothers and sisters. So that's the sower. Someone who sows the gospel seed, preaches the gospel, proclaims the gospel, shares the gospel seed. You may be in the train station or in the train itself, or you may be in your school or in your neighborhood or in your workplaces. If you're sowing that seed of the gospel, you're the sower. Then the second point we see is the seed, of course. In verse 4 it says, "And as he sowed, some seed fell," and we see here some fell here and there. And then in verses 19 to 23, it's explained what is the meaning of these things that we see in the parable. And this goes back to our point last Sunday, dear beloved, that Jesus Christ usually explains the parable in the context. And if we don't have so much of information in the context there, we still have the entire canon of scripture that we compare. We compare scripture with scripture. That's how we approach the word of God. In this specific parable, Jesus explains the parable right here. But the seed here that we see is the seed of the word of the kingdom. If you look at that there, in verse number 19, Jesus Christ explains it. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom. So that seed is symbolizing the word of the kingdom. Is this something foreign in the word of God? Not at all. In fact, in the word of God, we have verses upon verses telling us that the word of God is compared to a seed. Luke chapter 8, verse 11. Now the parable, this is the cross-reference. From Luke's perspective of this exact same parable, it's cleared out there. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. In Mark chapter 4, another cross-reference for this parable. The sower sows the word, says Mark. And then you go to Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23. He says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So here in that passage, Peter says, we have not been born again with any other kind of seed, but a specific seed. What specific seed is that? The imperishable seed of the word of God. Not physical means, not physical seeds, but the imperishable word of God. And this seed carries the eternal life that we need so badly. In the writings of James, James 1:21 tells us this. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness and receive with meekness the what? The implanted word which is able to save yourselves. The implanted word. It's being planted there right in your heart. And that's the source of our salvation. In the writings of Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 5 to 8, what did Paul say? When the church is being divided, some people are saying, oh, I'm with Apollos, I'm with Paul. You know, some churches, they do that, sadly. They go for personalities. Oh, I'm in the side of this pastor. Oh, I'm in the side of our assistant pastor. Oh, I'm in the side of our youth pastor. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm with our executive pastor. You know? But Paul said this. Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one. He says, I planted, but Apollos watered. But God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. So in the context of division here, Paul applies the concept, yes, you may do this, yes, you may do that, and I do this and I do that, but we are one in this ministry of gospel seed sowing. We should not be divided. So in this parable, again, dearly beloved, it's clear that the seed that Jesus Christ uses as our picture here is the seed of the word of the kingdom, the gospel seed, the word of God, sown by the sower. This is a good reminder for us, dearly beloved, as we sow around. Sow the gospel seed. This is the power of God unto salvation. Now we can use different items to be a jumping board for the gospel, but get to the gospel in our conversations. Because this is the seed that really saves hearts, saves souls of men. The third point is the soils. So we have the sower, the proclaimer of the word of God, the seed. Then we have the seed, the seed of the kingdom, which is the gospel. Now we have the soils. And we have four types of soil here that Jesus Christ explains, where the word of the kingdom is dropped. Now, these soils represent the conditions of the hearts of the hearers. They represent what kind of hearts do hearers have as we sow the gospel seed. The first kind of a heart is compared to the wayside soil. That's in verse 4. And as the sower sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. So the wayside was the path where people walked in the field. Right? This is the area which separates the fields. This is just like a narrow path that people walk on if they want to go from point A to point B. But they need to cross the field. Now, this area remained unplowed. The ground was too hard, especially when it is dry. It is hard as concrete, dearly beloved. And I've seen this many times in the Philippines. In the middle, it's hard as concrete. If you fall and you hit your head there in that section, wow. It's very painful. Because of this, the seed that is dropped there cannot penetrate the soil in order to germinate. There is no chance that the soil will survive, so that Jesus Christ says the birds come, and what do the birds do? They devour the seed. And there's a concept here with the word devour. It's relentless. It's aggressive. They swoop in and relentlessly and aggressively do that. I've seen some birds here in the Blue Mountains that are really crazy. I can imagine these, like, I'm back, like, they're like, wow, they're quarreling against each other when they see some seeds. That's a good picture here of the kind of birds that devour the seeds. So, dearly beloved, nothing could grow on the wayward soil. So Jesus explains in verse 19, this kind of soil, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. One commentator describes the wayside soil as hearers with a shut mind. Have you encountered a mind like that when you're sowing the gospel seed? A shut mind. He says the word has no chance of gaining entry. Why? There's prejudice already. And you can hear it. There's prejudice. There's the unteachable spirit in that person. There's pride. Oh, I know already what I know. You young man, young woman, you haven't been there yet. I have been there. And you're telling me what salvation is? That's pride. There's also a fear of new truth and the refusal to venture on the ways of thought of the Word of God. This commentator continues, sometimes an immoral character and a particular way of life can shut the mind. Can shut the mind. You know, if that person is continuing in sin and you're giving him or her the Word of God, and it's the righteous Word, of course he would not receive that because his life is so far from it. The commentator continues, there may be truth which condemns the things that an individual loves and which accuses the things that he or she does. And many refuse to listen or to recognize the truth which condemns them. For there are none so blind as those who deliberately will not see. This is the first kind of soil, dearly beloved. The wayside soil, hard as a rock, shut mind. Is this your heart today? The wayside soil. The second soil is that stony soil. Look down in verses 5 and 6. Jesus continues with the parables. He said, some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up. Yes, they do sprang up because they had, but because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Stony places. But this stony place, beloved, I want to make it clear that this is not what you call the stony soil. Like a stony loam soil kind of. No, no, no. What Jesus Christ is describing here rather is where there's a soil layer that's very thin on top. Right? And lying underneath it is a rocky shelf. That's what we're talking about here. A thin layer of good soil, but there's rock underneath it. Right? So on this ground, the seed springs up quickly because of the warmth of the soil. Because there is soil, thin, yeah. But the seed is unable to take root because of the rocky shelf. Not to mention, of course, there's no lack of sufficient water that will be held there because it's so shallow in this stony soil. For a while, the crop might look healthy and full of potential, but when the sun comes out, that's what the Word of God says here, and scorches it, and the water is gone, of course, that kind of like plant dies as quickly as it sprung up. And the Word of God says, they had no root so that they withered away. And Jesus then explains that in verses 20 to 21 that this soil represents the heart who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. So here's a person who listens to you, who listens to me, and even receives it with joy and excitement. Wow, that's amazing. That's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that with me today. Yet, the word of God continues in verse number 21. Yet, he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. Only maybe for that a few hours, maybe for that day. He is excited about it. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he takes the word. And he shares it with others maybe, or he tells others about it, or maybe he goes or she goes through some difficulties and that impacts what he heard from you, what she heard from you, and it brings discomfort. It's hard to realign my life now. Oh, I'm cohabitating with someone and the word of God tells me that I should not do that. Oh, that's hard. I don't want to change my life. Or maybe some people are telling me, why, you listen to that guy? From Hazelbrook Public School Hall? Those people there from Central Mountains Baptist, you listen to them? Those crazy dudes? What are you? And so there's persecution, there's no, all of these talks about don't listen to them, you know, and they, it's just so hard for them to continue this road. The word of God says, immediately he stumbles. This kind of land would be the bane of a farmer who had done everything he could to plow his field without knowing that a layer of rock lay underneath. That part of the crop would at first seem to grow more rapidly than the rest because there is no room for roots to grow. The plant's abundant topside growth would also appear especially leafy. As experienced farmer would know right away, that's not a good sign. Not a good sign. It means the crops are not developing an adequate roots system. That's the kind of soil this one is. The stony soil. One commentator described the stony soil as hearers with minds like the shallow ground. People who fail to think things out and think them through. These are people who are after new trends. That's their thing. After new trends. They're always on the lookout for a new hobby, for a new sport, for a new fashion trend, for a new app, for a new restaurant to try out, for new dieting, and for new exercising methods. Now, these are not bad, dearly beloved. Okay? These are not bad. But if these things become your way, and now the Word of God becomes just one of the things that you put on, put off, yes, they easily pick these things up, but they also easily give them up. Have you known somebody who's like, oh, I discovered a new way of exercising or a new way of dieting. Yeah, I just eat a piece of cheese, and when I go on my way, and if I started to get dizzy, I eat another one. That's it. You know? And oh, when you meet another week, it's like, so how's the cheese dieting going? It's like, and it's like, oh, I'm done. I can't do that. I want to go back to my rice diet. Oh, I want to see my, I want to go back to my seafood diet. Everything I see, I eat. Seafood diet. Sadly, this is also true with how people treat the Word of God. People get emotional sometimes. Have you experienced this? Like, oh, pastor, you know, I was so excited because this guy is so committed. He was really into the conversation. He's responding, he's engaging, and he's excited. But pastor, after a day, oh, don't talk to me ever again. I don't understand. So what happened? My brothers, my sisters, that's the stony ground. They make big promises. They're going to go to church, you know, they're going to attend prayer meeting, they're going to do all of these studies. But brothers and sisters, true Christianity is not about big emotions, big promises. Christianity is about daily dying to self. Daily dying to self as we follow Christ. Is this your heart today? The stony soil. The third kind of soil is the thorny soil. Verse 7, look down in your Bibles, brothers and sisters. And some of the seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Choke them. Interestingly, you notice that the soil here is fertile. Even perhaps too fertile. Why? Because we see other things growing too. The soil. We see useless wild plants growing in there. Especially plants with thorns. Now we look at the word thorns in the original language. That is acantha, the Greek there. And interestingly as well, if you discover it, if you make a study of it, it's the same word that was used for the crown of thorns of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's put on his head. When you see there the word crown of thorns, that's the same word thorns with the word thorns here in Matthew chapter 13. If you research further, this word as well applies to a thorny plant in that area of the globe in Israel as a thorn, bramble, bush, briar. One commentator added to this, he said, in the rocky semi-arid hills of the first century Judea and Galilee, thorny shrubs were everywhere, quick to sprout after winter rains, hard stemmed by harvest, and painful to remove. Farmers plowed shallow soils, thorns lurked beneath, ready to spring up again and steal moisture and light from young grain. Everyone knew these plants firsthand. Everyone knew these plants firsthand. Now, every gardener knows that the weeds grow with a speed. If you have a patch of land, you know that. And a strength that few good seeds can equal. If you have a backyard, you know, and you blow it, you're trying to destroy. Wow, these plants that are useless and really weeds, they grow faster than the grass. They grow taller than the grass. The result was that the good seed and the dormant weeds grew together, but the weeds were so strong that they throttle the seed out. The picture then is this, dearly beloved. The seed that is sown among the thorns is the one who hears the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. Unfruitful. Look at verse number 22. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word. Yes, he hears the word. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, of wealth, choke the word. And you know, have you been choked before? I hope not. That if you eat something and something is stuck there, like that's what the word choke is. I don't need to give you the Greek word. It drains you from your air. And if you're not going to be saved by somebody with some kind of a maneuver, you will die. And that's the picture here. Riches choke the word and he becomes unfruitful. One commentator comments, here thorns portray worldly anxieties, materialism, and pleasure-seeking pressures that suffocate spiritual vitality. The seed is sound, the soul initially receptive, yet the crowded heart prevents fruit. It's just too crowded that many things are vying, are fighting for your precious heart. The picture warns disciples that divided affections are as lethal as outright rejection. For us who may say, oh, it's okay, I'm here, I'm listening. The thorny soil warns us. It's not just about listening, but asking, is my heart too divided with many things? That now Christ is not the full Lord of my life. There are many lords there. Riches and wealth and pleasures. So that this commentator says that there are hearers who have so many interests in life that often the most important things get crowded out. And you and I can understand this. Life today can become increasingly crowded and increasingly crowded so fast too. So fast. Many things, even good things, dearly beloved, can take our time, your time, my time, our attention, your attention, my mind, your mind. You know that. At times, it's not really the obviously bad things you recognize, right? That are really taking our time away from the Word or our focus on the Word. But you know what are the dangerous things? The good things. The good things. Because the good things can keep us away from the best things of God. Dearly beloved. Like for example, mobile phones. Is this good? Well, every one of you has one. Right? And we can use it. But according to statistics, here we come. Australian internet users spend about 41 hours a week. Wow. Or roughly 5.8 hours a day on the internet. Well, this is combined mobile and laptop and desktop. With 128% of the total population having active cellular mobile connections, this indicates many are using multiple devices to access the web. Oh, I could easily go in here, dearly beloved, and just scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll my way through days and days. I scroll things that I will never buy. Right? Scroll and scroll. Oh, that's good. Put it in my, you know, in my, what do you call that? Cart. And then little did you know, your cart is full of these things that you'll never buy. But you spent hours and hours. I spent hours and hours for looking for things that I'll never buy. And then video upon video upon video upon video. But these videos never changed my heart. My time with this never changed my heart. Good thing, right? Good. But can take away my precious time with the Word. Now I can even go with my cell phone for hours and then my devotion is about 15 minutes. If I am really in a good day. Sports. Oh, the average Australian spends approximately 2 hours and 22 minutes per week. Some of you I know can say, oh, Pastor, that's short. Watching sport at home. Nearly half of Australians, 48%, watch between 1 and 5 hours of live sport each week. One author said, do you recognize this? That you're watching the ball the entire time. Somebody kicking it, somebody receiving it. Over and over and over and over again. That's all you do. I said, wow, that's one good way of looking at it. But why are we so glued there, watching people kick a ball and catch a ball? Right? And we don't have time for the Word of God. It takes away our attention from the Word of God. Now again, this is not bad. I watch sports too. Not really ball, because sometimes it's badminton, shuttlecock, so it's not really ball, but still. Right? You watch it over and over and over again for hours. Projects. Oh, we are about projects, right? Every single... Oh, I'm spending time in my shed right now. You know, don't disturb me. Keep the kids away. I need 5 hours right now for a project. And it doesn't stop. Project upon project upon... On average, Australians spend 4 hours and 25 minutes a day on unpaid work, which includes domestic chores and some home maintenance. What project are you busy right now? Oh, Pastor, yeah, don't start with me. I've been doing this for like a year now. And I said, it will only be 2 weeks. Taking our time. Projects upon, because we're hungry for something, right? To do, to finish, so we can say, I have done something. Now again, this is not bad. Projects are good. We need to have home maintenance. I have a few in my list. You know that my wife, come on. But even though I finished 1,000 projects, doesn't change my heart. So we need to clarify our, oh, don't start with politics now. And some of us maybe are also too busy now looking at what investment I'm going to do now with all the changes. I need to do something. Maybe we consider my financial portfolio. Oh, no. And researching, reading this, and listening to this person, and that financier, and like, you know. Again, these are good stuff. Money, investment, mom and dad stuff. Oh, you know that. You know, I feel like I'm like a chauffeur in a week. Driving here, and driving there, and driving here, and driving there. Sometimes I can drive closing my eyes. Because I know exactly where to go. Takes hours, takes time. These are good stuff. But here's the point, dearly beloved. Jesus and the Word are being crowded out by the good stuff. We need to be wise so that we don't land to be thorny soil. Because therefore, in verse 22 it says, the thorny soil is the heart which hears the Word and becomes unfruitful. I'm busy with a lot of things, but really, on eternity view, I am unfruitful. Wow. For people, wow, you're a busy mom, wow, you're a busy dad, look at you with everything. Like, but eternity view, I'm unfruitful. Is this your heart today, the thorny soil? That the last soil, of course, is the good soil. Let's go to the good soil. Verse number 8, Jesus continues the parable. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So dearly beloved, this kind of soil is fertile, it's prepared, it's deep, it's clean, it's soft, it's well fertilized. The seeds of the word land there, and the seeds gain an entry into the soil. It's protected from the birds, from men who will put their feet on it, away from the feet of passers-by. Since the good soil is free from weeds and thorny plants, the seeds thrive, find nourishment, and produces an abundant crop. Christ says, some 100-fold. Some 60, some 30. So we see here four traits of this kind of listener, this kind of a heart. And I hope we'll take heed here, dearly beloved. If you want to be a good soul, because maybe this morning you realize, oh, I am a thorny soul pastor. I am a stony soul pastor. I am a wayside soul pastor. Well, you want to be a good soul? Here it is. If you want to be a good soul, if you want to have that heart that's ready to receive the word first and foremost, your mind must be open to the word. Verse 23b. But he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands the word. You need to be ready to receive the word. Number two. Not only you need to be ready, but you need to actually receive the word. Some of us are always saying, oh, I'm ready to receive it, but you don't actually look for opportunities to actually receive the word. You barely come to church, you barely open your Bible, you barely listen to read the word of God or listen to podcasts or anything else, so you don't give opportunity to receive the word. The mind receives the word is the second thing. The heart is not too proud, not too busy to listen. There is no prejudice or fear. There is a total acceptance of the word. Verse 23a, it says there, but he who received the word. So dearly beloved, grab that opportunity where the word is preached and taught. Come. Not only on Sunday, there are Bible studies. There's prayer meeting. There's discipleship as well. Maybe some of you may need a one-on-one discipleship. A brother or sister, maybe you need that today. Pastor, yes, I need someone to disciple me. I need to continue to grow. Yes, we understand that you need to spend with the word personally, but the word of God also gives opportunities for disciple making, where somebody from the body of Christ comes alongside with you and walks life with you, teaching you, praying for you, encouraging you, maybe sometimes rebuking you. There's accountability there. Oh, brother, you did not attend Sunday for a few Sundays already. You've been, what's wrong? Oh, brother, you're pursuing this relationship with this woman, but she's not a Christian. Oh, sister, what are you going to do with all of these choices? Disciple making. Receive the word. If you need that right now, maybe you're thinking about it, pray about it. Maybe you can approach me later after the service or somebody here that you know you can trust. I need someone to disciple me so that I can receive the word. Please don't hesitate. Approach me. But you're ready, the mind is ready, the mind is open to receive the word, and he receives the word. But 23c, it looks here, look here, and understands the word. So the good listener, the heart that is receptive, understands the word. Why? Because they're smart? No. Because they think. They take time to think. They take time to think through the deep meaning of the word. They spend time in prayer. They ask for help and they grasp the exposition of the word. They understand the challenge posed by the truth. And he's touched. Of course, there's an emotional level there. You're touched, you're challenged in your heart by the wisdom of God through his word. Praise the Lord for that. But we don't stop there. The fourth trait of a good soul is this: there is produce or fruit. You saw it there. We have 100-fold and 60 and 30. And it's repeated again in verse 23. 100-fold, some 60 and some 30. In other words, these kinds of listeners, the ones who are like good soil, they are challenged and touched by the word. Yes, they are. They listen to it. They receive the word, yes, but they don't stop there, dearly beloved. They take what they have learned and they apply it in the different aspects of their lives. They ask, okay, so that's the truth. I'm challenged now to listen to the word, to receive the word. So how am I going to apply this? How am I going to do this week? What changes am I going to do? Oh, I spent a lot of time with this mobile phone. This week, I will try my best. Cut off half. And don't stop there. That means I will need more, spend more time with the word of God. They actively find where the truth must change certain habits, certain decisions. No, he's trying to backtrack. Oh no, I'm making this mistake because I'm not applying the word. I need to apply it here. Change certain directions. Change loyalties. Change hobbies. Change the tendencies of our lives. That's how we become this good ground, dearly beloved. And Jesus Christ poses a challenge here. The challenge is we all need to be the good soil. Is this your heart today? The good soil. So the last point here is the summon, the challenge, the exhortation. Verse 9 says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Everyone heard what Jesus Christ taught, right? So why did Jesus Christ say hear? Everyone, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Everybody can hear because they had physical ears. But dearly beloved, here's the point. Not only should we listen with our physical ears, that's not enough. It's not enough that the decibel of Christ's voice comes in. No, we must pay close attention to what we are hearing and understand more deeply the spiritual things that the Word teaches us and act accordingly upon it. In other words, when Jesus Christ says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear, he's saying, have a close attention. Pay close attention. Listen up. That's what he's saying. Listen up and learn well. We must think deeply about these things. We must scrutinize our hearts in light of the Word of God. One way of doing that this morning is asking the question, which soil am I? Am I the wayside soil, hard and unopen to the word? Nothing changes me. I'm just here, but really, just coming in here, but. Or am I the stony soil, shallow and doesn't really have, the word of God doesn't really grow deep in my life? Am I the thorny soil? So many things crowd out Jesus and his word. My Christianity is only defined as a Sunday morning thing that I do. 1 hour and a half a week. That's it. Or am I a good soil, open, ready to listen, understands, and applies the word? I want to leave three concluding statements, dearly beloved. Number one, a man's reception of God's word is determined by the condition of his heart. A man's reception of God's word is determined by the condition of his heart. That's why when we come to the word, let us search our hearts. Am I ready for the word? Let's prepare our hearts. Second statement, salvation is more than just a superficial, albeit joyful, hearing of the gospel. We thank the Lord for that. That's one good evidence, could be a good evidence. But someone, true salvation is someone who is truly saved, will go on to prove his salvation. How? A daily walking with Christ, daily dying to self, and following Christ. That's what salvation is. The third reminders to all sowers of the word this morning. Maybe you've been sowing the seed of the gospel to your family, to your friends, to your sister, to your brother, to your father, mother, your classmate, your neighbors. Listen, number one, we have no control on the effect that the seed is having. We leave that to God. Just sow the seed. Just sow the seed. Leave the rest to God. Yes, pray for that person, but leave the rest to God. Saving is not our act, is not our work, is the work of the Holy Spirit. Just sow that gospel seed. And sometimes conversations may not lead to actually the gospel itself. Just be willing to start a conversation and pray that it may lead. But if it stopped there, pray for another opportunity. Because maybe, as what brother pointed out in our Sunday school this morning, you're just a part of a link. Maybe you're the one who inserted this truth, and somebody will declare the entire gospel, and somebody will challenge that heart someday. Just be faithful in that conversation that you have and leave the rest to God. But number two, we must not look for quick results. As we sow the seed of God's word, we must execute patience and hope. We need to be patient. For you, maybe, Pastor, I've been sharing the gospel to my dad, to my mom, to my family for years. Don't give up. Don't give up. Press on. I'd like to leave our teaching this morning with a song that I hope will encourage us to be good listeners of the word. Because if you're a sower this morning, we still need to listen. We still need to continue to grow in our listening to the word of God. And may this challenge us on a personal way. May this become a personal prayer to us. Speak, Lord, for thy servant hears.
Servant hears. I am but a child, yet thou hast called my name. There must be a special task for me to claim. Speak, Lord, tell me all thy will. Speak, Lord, in a voice so still. Though the task be great, or though the task be small, I will trust in thee alone and give my all. I don't ask for riches, I don't ask for fame, I don't ask that honor be heaped upon my name. I only ask thy presence to ever be the same. Speak, Lord, for thy servant hears. Lord, I feel thy power, and now I see thy plan. Mold me as a useful vessel in thy hand. I don't ask for riches, I don't ask for fame, I don't ask that honor be heaped upon my name. I only ask thy presence to ever be the same. Speak, Lord, for thy servant hears.
Father God, may this be our prayer. We are just your servants. You are our master. Speak, Lord, and we will listen. And we will not just listen, but we will obey. So keep us pliable, O Lord, because there are ways life and this world can make us callous with your word, with you. Lord, may that not be true to us. May we always be ready and willing to listen and to learn and to grow. And help us as we do so, we will declare what we learn so that others too may share our joy of knowing you. In Jesus' name, amen.